Well, hello out there, faithful listeners in Radioland. Adam Lepp here with another microphone adventure. And like just about any microphone adventure, especially those featuring yours truly, it'll be fun. It'll be educational. You might use some four-letter words when you scream at your radio, but most importantly, your brain cells will be stimulated. You will walk away probably with a higher IQ than you had before you started listening. But if nothing else, you'll laugh a couple times, and especially in this crazy world, laughter is the best medicine. We are joined again by our resident presidentologist, historian, author, blogger, and all-around interesting dude, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman. Let's make sure that the intern has properly duct-taped all the cords. And
yeah, good morning. How are you doing, Adam?
Well, as I say, acceptable and slightly irrespectable. I guess the intern has properly secured everything, because coming across loud and clear there, it's, well, I call him Ron, but everybody else here calls him Dr. Feynman. Not quite sure why.
I don't care, as long as you don't call me a bad name.
Well, there's probably a few people here that would do that also, but it's a family station, isn't it? So, Ron, you were on with me last week, and, well, not surprisingly, lots of news tidbits between last week and this week. It looks like, well, the big one is obviously FBI agents visiting your state, and it wasn't to go surfing or visit your esteemed governor. It was to investigate, if not raid, the dwelling of the most recent president and his lovely wife, Melania. Ron, what's going on there? It seems like, not surprisingly, everybody in the world is talking about it and probably has an opinion. What's your take on this? It's unprecedented and unprecedented. There's never been a raid.
It was not as if they did without any warning. They said we're coming, and everybody knew at Mar-a-Lago they were coming. So the word raid is Fox News Channel, propaganda. It is not actually a raid, but it is coming into his property because of national security reasons.
So raid wouldn't be accurate. It kind of depends upon which news outlet that you listen to. What would be the proper word? Investigation? Search?
Investigation and search, because they became aware that national security documents affecting the country and in foreign affairs and all the people who are intelligence workers around the world and the CIA and all that, all this is possibly been compromised, and that's horrifying. And it probably won't even know for a long time whether there really was damage done. But I mean, the president's not supposed to take things out of the White House. That is not his property, and it is, you know, it's not any person's property, despite him saying that Barack Hussein Obama, having to use his middle name, took things out. He did not take anything out. It's all under the control of the U.S. government, and it can be utilized by him under observation, people around him, any president. But you can't just take things and move them to a different location, particularly one that's a public place where a lot of ordinary people come to Mar-a-Lago.
I heard that Hillary Clinton took some furniture and other decorations from the White House, or is that just more propaganda? But I'm sure you heard that going around.
Yeah, but I don't think it's actually quite as accurate as that. In fact, it was Bill Clinton more than Hillary, I think. But, Bill Clinton's far from an ideal law enforcement person himself, but not on the level that they say on right-wing media. But there might have been some things removed, yes. So what I understand, but of course I wasn't there, so I can't be sure.
So you're saying the verbiage and the actual account of the events might depend upon which website or news channel you choose to indulge in.
Oh my gosh, yes. Social media has really harmed us in that regard, and of course the whole confrontational attitude that started in the 90s with Newt Gingrich, and people have written about it. Newt Gingrich on with Sarah Palin and with Pat Buchanan and so many others, that everything is on the other side of the enemy, not the opponent.
Adam here, speaking with Dr. Ron Feynman, our resident presidentologist, and discussing the big news story, the visit, less than pleasant visit, which some media may call a raid on Mar-a-Lago. Donald Trump, Melania's clothes. Well, we'll get to that, and other investigations of that sort. So it wasn't a surprise where, for example, the police just coming to someone's door with a warrant. Donald and Melania and people there knew they were coming. What kind of a warning was
actually
given?
Donald Trump was not there. He was in New Jersey, so he wasn't even there. But he was aware of it, and he was able to watch them coming in with loans. So it was not something that was really a surprise. But he dramatized it because that's his nature, and he fixed his people. The people around the country that are so unstable, to get angry, and even have the Republican Party declaring war on law enforcement and national security. As I wrote about this week, it's a disgrace. Like, for instance, Rick Scott of Florida says it's like the Gestapo. What kind of bull is that? That is ridiculous. The language being used by him and by Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and many, many others is out of sight. It really is very irresponsible and reckless.
How much warning was given to Donald and Melania? I would think if they were given notice, they would hide or destroy the evidence, just like you see somebody flushes the drugs down the toilet. If you know the police
exactly
are coming.
How much, but there was definitely notice. They knew it was coming, and it was not like Breonna Taylor being attacked in Kentucky and being killed. That's not the kind of, that could have been, and in many cases, that's what would happen if somebody had things that involved spying and national security. I don't think FBI agents were worried about saving lives, but this is a different situation. He was treated much better than Breonna Taylor was, who was murdered in Louisville.
So what's the point of this investigation if Donald and Melania knew they were coming? Again, just like the flushing the drugs down the toilet. I mean, you don't need a lot of notice.
Because the documents were not returned as they were supposed to be. Supposedly, his lawyer, whoever it is, said that everything has been returned, but they became aware somehow. I don't know how. We don't know every detail. The government, that there were still many documents missing, and they were not just, documents like a letter from Barack Obama to Trump or the love letter of Kim Jong-un, which is interesting but not as important. But there were all kinds of secret things, top secret, things we can't even explain, and we don't even know what it is, that really undermine our safety as a nation. Could be sold for money to Russia or to North Korea or Iran or China or other countries that are our enemies, our rivals.
Adam here speaking with Dr. Ron Fineman about the FBI's visit to Mar-a-Lago.
Visit, yes.
several days ago, again, depending upon which news source that you listen to or read. We won't comment about the differences, just Ron's interpretation of it and what may happen. Now, this has never happened to a presidential residence before, certainly.
No, we've never had a president also impeached twice. We've had people impeached once, Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson, and Richard Nixon was about to be, but he resigned. But he has a lot of thirst, Donald Trump.
Donald certainly is a unique individual as a businessman, a TV host and president and whatever else you might want to call him. A few weeks down the road, what's going to happen? Is Donald Trump going to jail? Is he going to go to trial and get exonerated?
I think he will face indictment and that will bring to a trial, but he's not going to be incarcerated while he's on trial. But I'm worried that he's inciting people to commit violence, and now we have warnings that even family members of people that and also anti-Semitism, because the judge that gave the ability of the FBI to do what they did happened to be Jewish, and the Attorney General is Jewish, and a number of people around the president who are involved in all this are Jewish, and so it's really promoting anti-Semitism as well. And I would think even those Jews who support Trump should be alarmed.
Well, it certainly was a unique event, which is causing much hubbub on social media. Maybe the more humorous end, and that I've certainly posted some humorous documents on. The visit, we'll just use that term instead, the searching and confiscation of items from Melania's clothes collection, her closet. What does that have to do with these documents?
I don't know. I'm not aware that any of her clothes were confiscated. Are you joking or are you serious?
Well,
I didn't know that.
You've seen the photos, even Joe Biden wearing some of the clothing.
I mean, I must be honest. There's so much going on, and I keep up, but I can't keep up with everything that's said and reported. It's overwhelming. It's like you're flooded with so much. I'm not aware of that, and I think that's more comedy. I don't think that's for real. Yeah. Why would they confiscate clothes of hers?
They did look through her belongings, including her clothing, and she has a pretty nice wardrobe.
Well, I guess in theory, the thought could be that the former president could have put some documents there, figured they would never be found. So they had to check every part of the mansion, I guess, because he's not trustworthy that you wouldn't believe that he would have some documents that could be dangerous that are not where you would think they would be found. That's the only thing I can think.
They've overstepped their bounds, and the fact that they've gone through areas that aren't relevant will lower the credibility, that they should have just stuck with what their main goal was. I think that's what people are getting.
Well, it's hard to say because I think they know that he has shown that he's not trustworthy, as I've said, that you can't believe that the documents would only be where it would be obvious, that it could be that he or others around him could have decided to, to put them in different locations, thinking some of them would not be found. I don't know. That's what I would think. I think they don't trust him. I don't know anybody who can really trust Donald Trump at this point.
Ron is the author of the blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com. We're going to go over some of the recent blog entries. Certainly this event and ones related thereto have been a hot topic on his blog and other people that write comments about this. Bottom line, Ron, do you believe that they have gone within their authority? Have they overstepped anything? Or was this a reasonable thing to do? Is it certainly, as I say, unprecedented among all of our presidents to post-presidency?
I think they did what they had to do. They couldn't worry about whether it was popular. And I don't see Merrick Garland as a reckless attorney general. I think he goes by the book, and I think he's very responsible and a decent human being.
And you're not really sure, none of us are sure, what's going to be the end result.
I think there'll be an indictment. I think he will be brought up on charges, but he's not going to be imprisoned until if and when he's convicted. And that's another story to have to deal with the jury. I don't know if he could ever be convicted. I don't know. But I could see an indictment, just like involved in New York. He could have that indictment, or the one in Georgia. He's got a lot of cases against him. So I don't think he's going to be able to evade indictment at some point.
We've had politicians go to prison. Several Illinois governors, Blagojevich or whatever his name is, famously
also in Illinois, a number of governors
have
gone,
and others.
Yeah, oh my God!
So,
and New Jersey also. Some of those states. I'll tell you something. People talk about the presidency, forgetting Donald Trump, and they say this or that president, may have abused power. But governors around the country, not all of them, of course, but enough governors have been really abusive, including, I would say, Andrew Cuomo in New York, that it just makes you say, what's so great about governors? A lot of the governors are acting, and in many cases, very crooked, and some of them are very corrupt, and some of them act like our governor here, Ron DeSantis, like as if he's dictatorial. He's dictating curriculum for schools. I mean, that is ridiculous. So, I mean, I think the governorship office around the country has become a real crisis situation in many states.
Yeah, Detroit mayor, he certainly...
And also mayors, mayors not as much, because most mayors are not big cities. But, I mean, there have been cases in some of these bigger cities. Yes, that's true. So executive power has become a real problem. We talk about the legislature, and yes, the House and the Senate and the state legislatures, but a lot of it is executive authority abuse.
Bottom line is, doesn't matter who you are, no one is above the law. Presidents.
And that should include a former president or anybody who's been a governor, yeah.
Now, we look at Nixon and Clinton, and there were certainly rumors that both of them may serve time. And as I recall, Clinton had to give up his law license in Arkansas and a few other concessions, but there were no charges.
So Spiro Agnew had to give, Vice President Agnew had to give up his law license after he resigned under Richard Nixon as well, yes.
And
Vice President Agnew,
when
Governor
Nixon,
Maryland before that.
A.K.A. Tricky Dicky, he was pardoned by Gerald Ford.
Which was criticized at the time, but 25 years later, it was seen differently, and the Kennedy Library and Ted Kennedy gave Gerald Ford an award, and it was seen that it was a way to move on to the future. It's funny how attitudes change as years go by, because I was a big critic of Ford, and now I think I've told you, I think Gerald Ford, not that I think he's a great leader, no, but I think among Republicans, he's the best Republican president, and that doesn't make him great, since Eisenhower. So So I think he's a decent human being, and I love his wife, Betty.
Yeah, we do love Betty. Best Aquanet hairdo, and her legacy lives on in the fight against the serious substance abuse problem. And,
yes.
And she was a character. She was funny. She wasn't afraid to show that her politics were not always in agreement with her husband's, and we do love Betty Ford. And, you know, she appeared on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. And again, as we talked about last time when she appeared, supposedly she was quite plastered. And I guess that just kind of adds to the fun, but also shows how serious a problem is. Even first ladies are not exempt.
Yes, you and I have a love affair with Betty Ford. We really agree on that.
And actually, the stress of the job certainly can exacerbate that kind of a problem. And no secret, we've had presidents who have enjoyed the bottle. And other people.
Nixon actually drank. He just wasn't a drunk, but he did drink, and that made him very unstable at times.
Also, Nixon, he always wore a suit and tie. He wouldn't, we've talked about that before. I think he slept and showered in a suit and tie. He would never dress casually.
He just believed the president should always be fully dressed and fully formal. That's just his style. Yes. But on the other hand, Jimmy Carter liked to be in jeans, and he was criticized for that.
Whereas, from his days as VP, Biden as well as Obama, they're more casual.
Barack Obama wore a tan suit, and everybody went nuts on Fox News Channel. It wasn't a blue suit.
seems like you're taking a look at the photos we've seen of Biden. You know, of course, when he was bicycling, he was wearing a bicycling outfit, but we talked about the bicycle incident last time. But in general, he wears the open collar. He doesn't wear the fancy three-piece suit that Nixon certainly always did. Obama, too. You know, I said, I like this tan suit. I thought it was very flattering. I don't know what the big deal was about that. But he would often be casual. And I think he and Michelle were into fitness. They're both fit, you know, compared to Donald Trump, who definitely...
Yeah, I wanted to mention, since I mentioned Jimmy Carter and about his casual nature, that his wife will reach her 95th birthday on the 18th, which is, I guess, 4 days from now, on Thursday. She'll be 95, only first lady who still lived longer was Bess Truman, who was 97 plus. So happy birthday to Rosalind.
Yes, maybe we'll sing happy birthday, and we'll bring in Mr. Peanut or some other peanut logo to our...
And we're a month and a half away from Jimmy Carter being 98, October 1.
Pretty good. So, yeah, Jimmy Carter, certainly the president who had a rough presidency.
Yes.
But love him or hate him, he has become an elder statesman post-president.
Absolutely. He's outlived, well, not all critics, but he's really outlived everybody that was around him just about in his administration. Very few of the people around that time were still, even Walter Mondale lived to early 2021, 41 years actually, plus out of office, but he passed away last year. So there's very few people who work with Carter who are around now.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter, along with the Queen of England, will probably outlive both of us. I don't see either of them anything happening anytime soon. Adam Guerra, speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman here on The Talking Place, WGH Radio, discussing the visit, we'll use that term instead, to Mar-a-Lago by FBI, looking through Donald J. Trump's stuff and Melania's stuff, and maybe these memes we're seeing. I posted one that has gotten quite popular. It's a photo of Joe Biden wearing some of Melania's clothing. Maybe that didn't happen, but...
That's made up. That's not real.
But it's funny nonetheless, you know.
Yeah.
Never hurts to giggle. And as I said, I don't think RuPaul has anything to worry about. That was my comment. Dr. Ron Feinman is the author of a blog called theprogressiveprofessor.com, and let's go back to August 12th, his blog entry. Donald Trump, the most character-flawed president in American history. Of course, when he posted that on social media, my comment was, Donald Trump certainly is a character. That's one thing I can agree, whether or not you like the guy. He said, all of them have had human frailties, as all of us have. Some have been seen as horrible in their time in office and lacking character. For example, the aforementioned Tricky Dicky, and Andrew probably isn't a good name to be president because both Andrews, Johnson and Jackson, Sometimes I confuse them because they're both considered bad presidents and the names are so similar. You know, John and Jack are the same name.
Jackson's rated higher because he had some important positives, you know, in some ways, you know, like fighting against South Carolina breaking away from the Union and preventing it. But they're both from Tennessee also, Jackson and Johnson. That's also interesting. Two of the three Tennessee presidents, the other is James K. Polk.
Yeah, Jackson also on the money, so that's maybe... Yeah,
Jackson's most significant. Andrew Johnson is actually rated the worst in the most recent Siena College Research Institute, but he's rated below Buchanan. Usually he's second from the bottom, with Trump third from the bottom, but now Johnson's in the basement in that particular poll.
And you're right. Others would be seen as failures, including Franklin Pierce, James Buchanan, Warren Gamaliel Harding, of course, from Marion, actually born in Blooming Grove,
but
he's known as being from Marion and starting the Marion Star. And
yes.
Herbert Hoover, not from the vacuum cleaner department, just from the presidency department.
And not J. Edgar Hoover either, not related to the FBI head.
But there is
actually a decent man who was brilliant, but he had just horrendous times, and he didn't know how to deal with it, Herbert Hoover. You know?
Well, the presidency, Ron, is not a job for everybody. I don't think I would make it as president. But I might be like...
No, but it wasn't meant for Donald Trump either. He never should have been running, but, you know, anybody can run. Yeah.
Yeah, I might be like Reagan, the funniest president, but maybe not the best.
Yes.
But there is no president.
Charming, though, and very personable, Ronald Reagan. That's the thing.
Quite like Donald Trump. This is the, quote, truthful president who has lied more than 30,000 times in the last 7 years, more than any president so far. The genius who hides his college grades. The businessman who had 6 bankruptcies. The billionaire who continues to hide his tax returns. And the Christian who never goes to church. The father who's been a terrible role model for his children, the philanthropist who has defrauded charities, the patriot who dodged the draft, the playboy who pays for adult activities, we'll use that term instead, has 3 wives, had 3 wives, doesn't have, he had, while cheating excessively.
Has had, yeah.
I don't know, you know, if I were married to Melania, I don't know why I would cheat on her, but whatever turns you on, I guess.
But he did.
Yeah.
When Barron was born with I forgot the name of the woman that, you know, I can't remember her name now, but he definitely did.
The innocent man who refuses to testify, utilizing the Fifth Amendment, etc. Clearly he has no conscience, and the thought that he could become president again is a literal nightmare. Now, people have talked, Ron, about if he goes to the big house, he would run for president from there. That would certainly be different. Would they, like, go to the commissary and have the debates, or what would be the...
Well, but if he was convicted, he would not be able to run, because that would be banned by the 14th Amendment, I think, Section 3 or 4, whatever it is, I think. But actually, Eugene Debs didn't get elected, but Eugene Debs, the socialist, was in prison in 1920 for opposing World War One, not doing anything violent, just criticizing the war and being put into jail because of the sedition war. And he was in prison, and Wilson would not, well, he was sick himself at the time, he was not pardoning him, so he was running while in jail, and then Warren G. Harding pardoned him in 1921.
And that was before my time. And before your time.
Before mine, too. Although some of my students think I was around for all these events.
But
I guess I do a pretty good job of discussing it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly presidential history is fascinating. And it's interesting, too. You take a look at who was president when you were born. And I think I'm kind of an interesting case in point because I was born during President Johnson. No, not Andrew. Lyndon. just after the Kennedy assassination.
Yes.
And just as Richard Nixon was becoming a well-known politician, I would say...
Vice President who lost the election in 1960.
Yeah. I would say Tricky Dicky was a president that I grew up with. So maybe it's just my idea that you expect to see scandals. Because my dad was, having worked in the governmental-type legal jobs at that time, just really interested in the goings-on at Watergate. And I would watch and talk about it and think, this just the presidency, it's... Kind of a crazy situation, and this is the same president.
Sad, actually. Yes.
Yeah, who is so revered, thought of as a foreign policy genius, a great environmentalist, and couldn't keep his nose.
Yes, he was good, Nixon, in a lot of ways. You know, I have to say that, and I've always given him credit for that. I mean, you know, he's a very mixed individual when you think about it, and he does make after Trump, he looks like a choir boy by comparison.
And some of it, Ron, with Nixon, it was his friends, not necessarily him. I guess we won't know the entire story, but the the initial investigation, from my understanding, and you would certainly know more, is he denied any White House involvement in this thievery, the cover-up, the break-in at the hotel. He didn't personally do it, but he didn't condone it, and it was his buddies that did it. And he's still responsible. The buck stops here, certainly.
Well, the argument is that people around him knew how he thought, just like people around Trump knows what he thinks. So he's still responsible for the people, even if he didn't give the order. Yes,
but that would be accurate, because you would obviously know a lot about this, in my knowledge. I mean, maybe more than the average person, but I don't claim to be a guru.
He was very insecure, and he seemed to really think that he was going to lose the election. So so when these people did what they did, he covered it up, you know.
So he didn't specifically do it. He wasn't even the mastermind, but his buddies did it, and he knew what was going on. And he's still responsible because he was really, as the president, you are the leader of your party. He's, you know, if you're a Republican or Democrat, you are the you are the number one person. So he is guilty by association. Not guilty directly, but the indirect guilt still counts. I mean, he was an accomplice. That might be the best term we can use, even if it may not be perfect.
Yes, you're right.
Whereas with Donald, what you're saying and what, again, many people think is that he did something directly. It wasn't his buddies. He didn't condone anything. He actually did it. And that is a difference.
Well, he has no ethics. And I want to point out, you skipped on the article. This is the employer who cheats those, the employer for his property, has never paid them, you know, for people who didn't work on Mar-a-Lago or other places. He's just such a terrible human being in so many ways. You know, and he lies incessantly, and he covers up incessantly. And, you know, he always said he never thought he had to ask forgiveness from God because he didn't think he ever made a mistake. Now, there's something really seriously wrong about somebody who says that.
Well, Donald certainly is a character. We can agree on that. Adam here, speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman, our official presidentologist, about the unprecedented, you like that word, unprecedented event that took place earlier in this month of August. And people have also talked about, you know, Melania. You know, she's young. You know, I know you're not a big fan, but you realize, I mean, she's done her best to be the mother to Barron. And
By the way, I understand he's a spoiled brat. He's not a very nice person, from what I've read. I heard that on Air Force One, if he didn't like food, he threw it at the waitress or whatever, and he's spoiled. Let's face it. I think all the Trump children have been spoiled because they have too much given to them, but they don't have a father who's there for them. I don't think the older ones ever really had their father around a lot, and I don't think he's around that much for Barron either.
But you know, you look at them, and as you think, Melania will just say, "I've had enough," and she will divorce him and move on.
I think she's going to still at some point, yes. Okay. But I think she's waiting for Barron to become 18, which would be 2024.
Yeah, so she's not looking for a custody battle. Let Barron be an adult. I would probably agree with that.
Yeah, by the way, he is 6'7", Barron, unbelievable, taller than all his siblings.
Yeah, they imagine
that.
They do
grow. He might be growing more because he's still only 15, 16, you know?
They do grow quickly at that age, for sure.
Gosh, unbelievable.
In your blog, Ron, from August 13th, you write, sad conclusion, Donald Trump has violated the Espionage Act and must be arrested and prosecuted. Revelation of Donald Trump breaking the Espionage Act and having top secret documents at Mar-a-Lago that had to be removed by court order brought by the Justice Department leads to a clear-cut conclusion. Early, and skipping a couple paragraphs, earliest indications are that Fox News Channel, I know what a fan you are, by watching that station on Friday night, is still engaged in promoting the defense of Donald Trump, a very troubling development, and threats against the FBI and other government institutions and individuals are a growing crisis, all due to the cult-like worship of Donald Trump supporters. Now, you do end that title with, must be arrested and prosecuted. But you don't think he's going to go to jail, or if he does, it'll be a while?
Well, he could be indicted, but it doesn't mean he has to be put in prison before trial. You know, a lot of people are not. So I'm sure he would not be in prison, but he could be under indictment and face trial. And, of course, he would do everything he could do to delay the trial, delay, you know.
But it's certainly possible that he could be. He could be the first president ever arrested. That is possible.
I think arrested with the sense of indictment, yes, but not being put into prison while being arrested. And, you know, but he might have to, oh my God, show up with his hands in handcuffs. Oh my, like his financial guy. That's not, you know, that had to, I forgot his name, the one that works for him in his business. Can you imagine the scene of that?
Now, interesting twist could be...
Wow, that would be right. Mind-blowing.
If he runs for president and wins, then you can't arrest the president, right? Or can you? A sitting president.
No, but I think he's not going to be able to run. I mean, he's keeping on to talk about it, the people throw money left and right, but I don't think he'll be able to run. And I also still want to believe that the Republican Party, despite what they're saying now, would not nominate him, that somebody else would come along and, like, maybe Ron DeSantis, who I don't want. But, I mean, I could see someone challenging and possibly, saying it's time to move on.
But if he
the
were...
The way to go if, until the right. nomination. I don't see him being nominated.
But if he were to run and win, can they come in and arrest a sitting president while he is sitting in the Oval Office? I mean, that's got to come up, but that would be a way to avoid prison.
I don't know how to answer that. I would think not, but it would be a disgrace and a danger to the world if he became president again. That's the problem. It's not just because he's unpopular, although he is popular to many. It's not even a question of being controversial. It's a question of his lawlessness that makes him dangerous, because he's basically made clear he's got a clean house in all the government agencies, and that is really a movement toward fascism like Mussolini or Hitler. It's very scary.
So so we don't know, but you're thinking he's not likely to be like Grover Cleveland, a two-term non-consecutive president.
No, I don't think so. The only thing is he probably could come close to challenging Grover Cleveland on weight, because Cleveland was the second heaviest president, and everybody knows Trump is the third, but actually he may have gained some more weight, so he might surpass Grover Cleveland in weight. You know, the only one with more was William Howard Taft.
Yeah, we're concerned about the guy's health, but just kind of seems like, despite not having a great diet, not exercising, and, you know, being heavy, he seems healthy, but you don't really know. And I'm sure there are things we're not hearing about.
Well, people can look healthy and then drop dead suddenly, as we know. Nobody knows what their next day is going to be like. We all think we're going to live to a ripe old age, but as we know, it doesn't always happen.
The general trend is that presidents have gotten older and older. Obama was relatively young, but we've had two presidents in their 70s, and Biden will celebrate.
Well, we've had four presidents in a row who reached their 90s, you know, it's, and one of them is still around, Carter. I mean, Bush, the first Bush, of course, and Reagan and Ford. Ford and Reagan were 93, Bush was 94, and now Carter's going to be 98, and the only others who reached 90 were Herbert Hoover, who was 90 in 2 months, and John Adams, 90 years and 7 months. So as far as that part, yes, I think there's a good chance that that we could see Obama, in theory, because he stopped smoking, he could live to a ripe old age. I'm not so sure about Bill Clinton reaching 90, because he's had heart surgery. I don't know. And also, I don't know about George W. Bush, but, you know, right now they're both in their mid-70s, and they seem to be all right.
Yeah, we have many living ex-presidents currently.
Yes.
I mean, Biden will,
as many as we've ever had, yes.
Biden will reach 80 during his first term.
November 20th, he will be 80, yes.
That's the first time that's ever happened. And, you know,
and he will be 82 in 2 months at the end of his term. And again, you know, the question is, even though he has actually accomplished a lot in the last few weeks, and really it looks pretty good now when you look back at 18 months, it's still the issue, 86 in 2 months at the end of his term, and will he be functioning and be able to do the job? I don't know. I know I always loved him and admired him, but I really think it's because of his age, it would be better to have someone else.
Back to your youth, Ron, it would be unfathomable to think a president would be any more than mid-70s, let alone 80, as they keep getting older and older. There was talk about Reagan when he was elected, how old he
would
be.
He was just short of 70 by about 2 weeks, so he was 70, short of 2 weeks by 78. But, of course, Donald Trump, if he came back and would be 78 and a half, he'd actually be older in this new term than Joe Biden was when he entered the term. So he would even be older at the end of that next term than Joe Biden will be at the end of this term.
Yeah, that's...
And same thing with the House of Representatives. I mean, there's all this talk about what's Nancy Pelosi going to do, and Steny Hoyer and Jim Clyburn. They're all over 80. It's time for them to leave in leadership, at least. I'm not saying they have to leave the House, but they might. We really need a new generation. administration. And same with Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader. Actually, February, he was 89 months older than Joe Biden. It's time to move on. I'm not saying he has to quit, but he should not be the leader anymore. He really should be a younger leader of his party.
Yeah, we're seeing older and older leaders, and everybody ages differently. And with Donald Trump, he's just been around so long, and I guess the time kind of flies because we see him in so many different roles, and he's been in the public spotlight so long. But you look at Biden, how long he's been in politics.
Well, he's been around since we started in office in Delaware in 1970 and was elected to the Senate short of 30 by a few weeks when he was elected. But when he took the oath, he was already past 30. So he's the fifth youngest as far as when he was elected, because there were four people who were actually in the Senate in the 19th century who were actually younger. But nobody paid attention to the age. We're not 30, which is the limit. So, but he was actually 29 and, you know, a few weeks short of 30 when he actually got elected, yes. So he's been around longer than, and he's had more years in government than anybody except, at this point, John Quincy Adams, if you count elected and appointed. He had 49 years, and right now Joe Biden has 40, I guess, 6 years. So if he finishes the term and does a second term, he'll be longer than John Quincy Adams.
As we've talked about, Ron, some of these politicians have been in office so long, you see all their different roles. Mike DeWine, the current governor of Ohio, has had many different offices.
He's been around a very long time. He's in his mid-70s already.
Yeah,
high 70s, he's a mid-70s.
Yeah, quintessential professional politician. You believe the Republicans should pick someone like Ben Sasse, who is more moderate, well-spoken, well-educated. He'd be a good choice, a better
Mike DeWine?
No, for the presidential nominee, Ben Sasse.
Yeah, but who? I would think somebody like Larry Hogan, the outgoing governor of Maryland, he's a critic of Trump. I think someone like him would be good, or Adam Kinzinger, who's on the January 6th committee, who's leaving the House. He's had years in the military, and he's in his 40s. He's very attractive to look at, which is, certainly doesn't hurt, but he's a critic of Trump. Someone like that would be good. Even possibly, I hate to say it, Mitt Romney, although he actually would be 77, so it's a little late in life for him to be coming back. You know, it's a really difficult situation who should be running. And Liz Cheney now is facing election on Tuesday, probably going to lose, and there's rumors she's going to run. And she's certainly a conservative and voted with Trump more than 90%, but she's against him, and she's going to lose, but she's thinking of mounting a presidential campaign, too.
Some of these people, like Mitt Romney, seem to be around every single time you talk about presidential
candidates.
He looks
so young. Well, of course, he probably dyes his hair like Reagan does, but he's going to be 77 in 2024. So in a way, he's past the prime. It means he would be in his 80s if he got elected, if he was running, you know. I'd also mention Ben Sasse, S-A-S-S-E.
Yeah, I mentioned, because he's someone that comes up.
Yeah, Senator from Nebraska, who's a history professor, has a PhD in history, which I find fascinating, but I don't like his voting record particularly. But he is an intelligent guy, and he's about 50 now, I guess. So someone like that could be. But he's also not a supporter of Trump. So that's the problem, you know.
Right. Well, we see divisiveness in the party, the Trump likers and the non-Trump likers. And that'll make for some interesting...
Well, some people say Donald Trump Jr. Come on. Donald Trump Jr. has no qualifications except his name.
Yeah, I'm not sure he would be a viable candidate.
No. But, I think that would be a joke if he was to run, but you never know.
Yeah, as we've talked about, your governor, whom you're not a fan of, certainly has his eyes on the presidency, and he's young and well-educated.
Yeah.
So he has many of the on-paper qualifications, just people may not like his politics.
But, yeah, it's just like Greg Abbott in Texas does, yeah.
But we
Ron DeSantis is more attractive in what he just is in appearance. And I just think, you know, Greg Abbott, I want to point out, he's in a wheelchair. He cannot walk. And yet, in my mind, he's a man who has a disability, and yet he doesn't seem to give a damn about immigrants or about the poor in his own state. And it's just, I don't understand it. He definitely is not an FDR in the sense, like FDR was in a wheelchair, but he really cared about people.
Yeah, well, whatever happens, the next presidential primaries will be scintillating, and they're coming up.
Probably 25, I've said this before, there could be up to 25 candidates, not saying all of them are going to be serious, but if you announce you're a candidate, I can imagine up to 25 people running. just like last time it was 26 Democrats, and I think in 2016 it was 17 Republicans. I can see up to 50 people that will be at least announcing, although a lot of them will go vote by the wayside very quickly.
It'll give us plenty of things to talk about on our program.
Oh, my gosh, Willis. And I can History News Network. I started to write on that website under my name, and I wrote 50 articles in 2016. I couldn't believe it. I just asked, could I write? So I think by 2024, I probably will be in a position where I might write articles much more regularly.
We've got a few minutes left here with Dr. Ron Fineman, our official presidentologist on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. So, a few days ago, Ron, you celebrated the 14th anniversary of your blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. And
yeah, I forgot about it because of all the news, and then I realized, hey, I forgot to mention it. That's right.
And sure enough, on that anniversary week, all kinds of stuff broke loose, to put it mildly. It was very eventful.
Every week is getting worse and worse in a sense. There's too much to keep up with, really, you know?
But when you started, could you have imagined that 14 years after your first entry, you'd be writing about this kind of stuff, about a former president and everything kind of going
haywire? No, I never would have thought it. But also, as I pointed out, in those 14 years, I've written over 7,500 entries, which is mind-boggling that I've done that, and had like 22,000 comments made at some point. And it's just shocking. But, you know, it's funny. I can joke with students, you know, about the fact that John Quincy Adams wrote a diary for 68 years. Why, well, I'm never going to come anywhere near that, but I think having written for 14 years on a blog is quite an accomplishment on a smaller level.
Yeah, I probably couldn't have imagined what you would be talking about 14 years after your first entry. But
yes,
the surprise and the drama, that's all part of the excitement of living in this great country. You never quite know. And even if you don't like the events, don't like the people, it's always something to talk about. And when you talk about something and you have dialogue, you exchange opinions with people, whether or not they agree with you, you do learn more and you do laugh a little. And that's an important thing,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned. So,
you know, life is interesting, and keeping up with politics has been a thing that I've been interested in since I was 10 years old. You know, that's when it all started. So it's 67 years I've been interested in this.
Yeah, in case you're bored, always think about the goings-on in this country, at the White House, your local state house, or wherever, and suddenly there's much more stuff going on in the world for you to think about, form opinions about, and do your part to make the world a better place. Well, we
yes,
do thank you again, Ron, for being here on The Talking Place,
Yeah, thank you so much. I had a good time.
Yeah, GH Radio here with Adam. We discussed today the 14th anniversary of his blog. We do encourage you to read it. I read it every day. Bookmark it, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Acquire and read, analyze Ron's book about presidential assassinations, which you might find at your local library. You can certainly buy it at Amazon.com. We talked about the visit, we're going to use that term instead of other ones, by the FBI to Mar-a-Lago recently, and did they or did they not go into Melania's clothes, wardrobe? What were they doing there? What kind of advance notice was given and related matters? And how does it compare to Watergate? And how does Nixon and the things that he did, things that he condoned, how does that compare to what's going on with Donald Trump? Certainly some big differences. And as we said, no one is above the law, be it a president, governor, or anybody else. So we thank you again, Ron. We will talk to you
again. Thanks so much. See you next time.
Talk to you again soon. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.